first one under a Labour government, Sean.
It is the first one under a Labour government.
I know. Are you ready?
I am ready. Woo woo!
For the Labour government or the podcast?
Both.
Okay, let's do it. Hello, everybody. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. We're back with Talking Pollocks. I'm here with Sean.
Hi.
I don't know what episode number it is.
Five.
This is normal Talking Pollocks now, of
yes,
course.
Yes, we are back to normal.
After the election. So, first one under a Labour government.
Ooh.
I know. What a win.
What a couple of weeks it's been.
I know. So, just to catch you up on a couple of things, everybody. Talking Pollocks Live didn't happen because just as we were about to do it, my hard drive failed and I lost everything.
Yeah, that it was not a good day.
It was not a good day. Chris was very angry that day.
Chris was very angry that day and Sean got very angry that day.
Did he?
Sean did get very angry. You were there.
I was there.
How do you not know?
It was expensive.
It was an expensive day.
But not overly expensive.
No, it was manageable.
It was manageable.
So that didn't happen. But, so that means this is the first one since the Labour government
410
was
seats.
412
seats.
Yeah.
What was it, 410 in the exit poll?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about that. It was that close, though,
it was
the
that
exit poll.
Close, ladies and gentlemen. So, obviously, Labour won a landslide. Interestingly, with a smaller vote share than Jeremy Corbyn. But we'll gloss over that.
Yeah, we won't gloss over that, actually.
No, we're
going to
talk about that.
I would like to make a point of that. So, in this election, so before the election, and before polling day, I was constantly saying, turnout's going to be low. And it was. 59.9%, 7.4% down.
On last time.
On the last election. And, you know, we're not the highest voting country in the world.
No,
so
we're not.
59%, in my opinion, is too low.
Maybe all those postal votes didn't get counted in time.
We'll never know, I suppose. They'll probably be lost in Royal Mail sorting centres somewhere.
I've been in one of those sorting facilities, and all I'm going to say is, holy shit.
Yeah. But yeah, but going back to that, so Jeremy Corbyn, in 2019, he lost the election substantially. Boris Johnson got an 80 seat majority over him, yeah, but the Labour Party received 10.2 million votes in that election.
Mm-hmm.
In this election, the Labour Party have obviously won 412 seats, an increase of 211 on before.
Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer.
But they only got 9.7 million votes. That's 500... I know it's only 500... Well, I say only 500,000, but that's 500,000 votes less.
I know.
Than last time when they lost massively.
But it just goes to show how the first-past-the-post voting system works.
Or doesn't work.
I do have a couple of points to go through, by the way, everybody. Just some notes that I had that I was writing down as the election was going on.
Right.
So here we go. The SNP were obliterated.
Yes. Yes, they were. They.
Yep. Reform on the exit poll were predicted to get 13 seats.
Yeah.
That wasn't an omen, was it? I literally put omen question mark.
Oh, poor Nige.
Conservatives, not as bad as it seems.
No, that's a good note. Not as bad as it could have been.
Yes, Sunderland declared first, Labour.
They did, yes.
Yes, Labour hold.
Labour hold, yes. Obviously.
But Labour did draw the first blood by taking your old constituency, Sean, Swindon South, from Conservatives.
They did, yes.
Yes, they did.
That was the first one. Robert Buckland.
Robert
former,
Buckland, yes.
Former Secretary of State for Justice.
Yes.
One of 11 that we've had in the last 14 years.
Yes.
He was...
It was a very bad day for the Tories, wasn't it?
It was awful.
It was pretty bad.
It was absolutely awful. Like, but going back to what you said, it could have been worse. The some of the polls were before the election were putting them on like 60
bad.
Seats, putting them in third place
they
in Parliament,
bad.
Which would have been absolutely devastating for the Tory party.
Less than 100 would have been considered a destruction, wouldn't it?
Yeah, since they've been in Parliament, they have never been the third place party.
Really?
They have either been first...
Or second. Fair enough.
So for them to have fallen to third would have been absolutely devastating for them.
Speaking of third place, did the Lib Dems do well?
They did! Better.
72 seats?
72 seats, better than the exit poll said.
Just goes to show, going to Thorpe Park and bungee jumping off a crane does win votes.
It was lucky for Ed Davey that he had his midlife crisis in the middle of an election campaign, really, isn't it? Some people are not blessed with having a midlife crisis in the right time.
I mean, to be honest with you, right, I think the Lib Dems ran quite a good campaign. They've certainly
could
made...
Could you name, other than what we've read from the manifestos, could you name one of their policies that was promoted by these stunts?
So when he was paddleboarding in Lake Windermere and pretended to fall off a paddleboard, he was advocating for their policy of cleaning up rivers and stopping water companies from dumping sewage.
Yeah, but what actually is that policy?
I can't name it. I mean, I haven't got the policy in front of me, Sean. What do you think? You're the political expert on this podcast. That's the dynamic that we have here, okay? That's how it's worked for, what, 9 specials and 5 episodes?
Yeah, but this is the point. Their campaign didn't really put out policy, which has worked in their favour. I will grant them it has worked in their favour. And do you know what I think part of that comes down to? That people don't trust in politics.
Yeah, and I think Keir Starmer harping on, you know, country before party, etc., etc.
Change, we want change,
I think that really resonated with people, and I think, you know...
Those slogans that they use.
Yes.
You know, the slogans are bad, remember?
Yes.
From the Labour Party says slogans are bad.
Yes, they are, change.
But we'll use them.
Single word, though.
Party before country...
Right, interestingly enough... Matthew Pennycook, Labour MP, was on the Politics Hub on Sky News last night, and he said, oh yeah, well, it's definitely party before country.
Oh yeah, with Ali Fortescue.
Something like that. Fortescue, I can't remember her name, was it Ali Fortescue?
Ali Fortescue,
she,
yeah.
She said something along the lines of, well, slogans have Labour like a slogan, don't they?
They've yeah,
got
change.
A party before country. And Matthew Pennycook agreed with her I wouldn't agree that party before country is a slogan.
He literally repeated it word for word.
That. Party before country. And I tweeted both Number 10 and Labour, at UK Labour Party, asking them if that was a sign of things to come. And funnily enough, I didn't get response.
No, I couldn't imagine you would.
No, I didn't think I would.
In his defence, I genuinely think from both of them it was just a Freudian slip.
A Freudian slip. Are you taking the piss out of my height again?
No.
We've spoken about this.
It's a reference.
It's a reference.
How short you are.
Right. Sean, I'd love to be able to talk about the stuff that we've been speaking about, but I can't access the document.
Oh, no.
And I've sent you a request to access the document, but I can't get into it.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Sean. I can get into this document now.
You are welcome.
Seamless cut there, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo!
You'd never notice it. So Sean has put together a fantastic Excel document. Unfortunately, we can't show you it. It's Criff and Sean proprietary, as you'd imagine. But it's basically it's got pie charts and tells us who MP is for what constituency. Sean, you can probably go into a lot more detail than I can.
Oh yeah, so we have a front page, which has a state of the parties. It has the cabinet. It has charts, and it's going to have charts coming out soon because I'm getting really happy with charts.
You are, yeah.
And then you go further deeper into the spreadsheet, and you've got data sets of every constituency, the MP that was elected, the vote majority that they got, and then the following 3 parties that followed them.
I can't help but notice that the colours on the vote share chart are wrong. Sean.
I know.
Labour is currently blue. And I know. The Tories you are currently
have to.
Red.
You have to set them manually, and I literally put that vote share chart together the second before you click record.
So yeah, Labour have got 34% vote share at this election. Tories 24%. Lib Dem 12. SNP 3. Reform 14%.
So let's put this into perspective, shall we? And so this is sort of a sum up of the first past the post system and the flaws in the first past the post system, okay?
Ooh.
So Labour got 34% of the votes,
okay,
in the general election, but they have received 63.4% of the seats in the Houses of Parliament.
So
in the House of Commons.
If you don't know how the first past the post system works, we have 650 seats in the House of Commons. Each of those needs to be represented by a MP. Each constituency, which one of those seats represents, elects an person, otherwise known as an MP,
yeah,
to the seat by way of an election, which we've just had, okay?
I think people know this.
I know. Layman's terms. Stick with me here. Now, the problem that we've had is that we've gone from a two-party country to quite a lot of little parties and two sort of medium big parties, apart from Labour. They're fucking huge now.
Yeah, because of first past the post.
Because of first past the post. So each of the local constituencies had a lot more options this time, and it split the vote.
Yes, exactly. Sorry, mind fart. But to put this into perspective, and this sums it up, this is the biggest flaw in our voting system. So, the Liberal Democrats, they received...
They're the biggest flaw in the voting system, aren't they?
No. So they received 12% of the votes.
They did, yes, 12%.
And got, for that, 11% of the seats in the House.
I would say that's a good return on the vote share.
That would seem fair, right?
Yeah.
However, the Reform Party, and I'm not an advocate for Reform, the Reform Party received 14% of the votes.
Yes.
So 2% more than the Liberal Democrats. However, they hold just a tiny percent. They're not even considered
it's not
a percentage.
Even 1%.
Not even 1%.
They've got 5 seats
in the House.
Yeah.
So that sums up the flaws in the voting system, in my opinion.
So, yeah, I mean, we could... Is this going to be a topic of discussion over this parliament, over the next 5 years? Is proportional representation going to be a topic of discussion? I think Nigel Farage would very much like that to be a talking point.
And I think the Liberal Democrats would... may change their stance on it, given how well they've done in this election.
Yeah.
I don't think Labour will bring it up, because why would they?
They wouldn't want it.
You know, they've got 63% of the seats on 34% of the votes. You know, if we did proportional representation, we'd have a hung parliament.
Yes, we would.
So...
Which means nothing gets done.
Exactly.
So it's 0.8%.
0.8%.
For reform, by the way.
And that's... To me, it just seems crazy that someone can get that, or a party can get that many votes. Again, I'm not advocating for reform, more reform MPs in Parliament. I personally don't think that is the right way to be going.
All right.
Moving
on then.
Yes.
So, welcome back to the Red Corner, everyone. Starmer's taken office in number 10. Larry was less than impressed, as you'd imagine.
And you pointed out to me what he did, what Keir Starmer did on pretty much 10 minutes after moving into Downing Street.
Would you like to know what Starmer did 10 minutes after moving into Downing Street? He put England bunting on the iron railings.
How common.
Said the royalist. I just thought it was a bit tacky.
Yeah, I feel it's a bit tacky. It's like, you know, the cars driving around with the flags that you stick on your rear windows. And
don't get me wrong, as we record this, England are currently playing the Netherlands in the Euros. And I am keeping up with the score. When I last checked, it was 1-1, and it is still 1-1.
Shocking.
So,
is it half-time now?
It is half-time right now, yes.
Thought so.
In for 2 more minutes, and then they start play again. So quick, hurry up, get the podcast fit. I'm joking.
Okay, quick. So, lots to cover.
Kia, after he'd moved into number 10, was very quick to basically get governing, let's
say.
The cabinet was appointed on day one.
Well, the biggest positions were appointed by 5 p.m. on Friday, which is crazy. So even Tony Blair in 1997 waited until the Saturday to appoint his cabinet, you know. So it gives that impression that, you know, before the election, they were saying, we're going to hit the ground running. From day one, we're going to get going. It seems like that's the impression that they're giving off. So,
which is a good impression.
Hopefully we'll continue. No matter what party you support, at the end of the day, if the government succeeds, we all succeed. So we have to look at it positively, right?
As Tenacious D once very tenaciously said, that's fucking teamwork.
Woo!
So in his cabinet, there's big names like Keir Starmer, who's the PM.
He is the PM, it's in his cabinet. Yeah.
Ed Miliband, you might remember him, had a leadership contest against his brother and won.
Questionable as to why.
Yeah, Lisa Nandy, culture, media and sport.
There was rumours that she wasn't going to keep her position and then she did.
Sir Alan Campbell, chief whip.
Yeah, again, sort of, most of the people in the cabinet now have sort of drifted over from the shadow position that they already held, which makes sense. You know, they were already shadowing that brief.
Yeah, exactly.
Why change it?
Yeah. Of note,
the
UK has received its first female Chancellor of the Exchequer.
We have,
In Rachel Reeves.
Miss Rachel Reeves.
Yeah. Angela Rayner was named Deputy PM.
And Secretary of State for Housing, Communities and Local Government. Just to note that they've scrapped levelling up because they think it's a slogan.
I think everybody can guess what Sean voted for at the election.
No, I just think it's so petty because they say...
Petty?
Slogan, it's a slogan, it's just a slogan. All you've done is peddle slogans.
It's one word though.
Levelling up is two words.
Yeah, but change is one word.
Country before party is free. That's another one of their campaign fucking slogans.
Right. Also, someone else that's drifted over from the shadow cabinet, Wes Streeting, who also hit the ground running, who's also already had a meeting with the junior doctors.
And getting the
strikes sorted out. Didn't actually get them sorted out, though.
No, they haven't ruled it out, and they've given him a month to come up with the money, basically. Because he has to have... So they have to ballot in August for new strike action. In September. So they have to get the voting done. And if he doesn't come to them with the money that they want, they're just going to strike again. Unfortunately, I don't know where they're going to get the money from. You know, Rachel Reeves has been very clear that they don't have the money to play with. You know, on day one, they went, there is no money.
I do think there needs to be some sort of pay increase, but I think it needs to be done incrementally.
So
maybe every 6 months.
There is a pay increase on the table. There's obviously the offer that's already there. I can't remember what it was. I think it upped to like 11 or 12%.
Yeah.
In the end, I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But
we will do our research.
Yeah, we'll double check that. But... they obviously want a substantially higher pay rise.
Yes.
Which we can't afford as a country.
No.
And as much as I'd love, you know, ethically, we'd all love to pay our doctors loads of money to make people better. But, you know, the money just isn't there, you know. No magic money tree.
Said Theresa May. Maybe Labour's got one.
Theresa May's slogan.
Yeah. What is it with you and slogans today?
Well, I'm just proving that politics is full of them and that politicians are talking shite.
They're talking pollocks
when they when they say slogans are just slogans.
Oh, it's nice to be back in our normal reform routine, Sean, I have to say.
It allows me to go off on these rages.
Yeah, it does. It allows you to rage the fuck out, apparently. Jeez. Apologies, ladies and gentlemen. I did drop the C-bomb. Spotify beeped it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, we did.
I did drop the C-bomb. So, apologies for that. For any sensitive ears listening. It was beeped.
Yeah, it was beeped. So, don't worry.
One must smile. Apparently, Fs and Ss, they're all right.
They're fine.
We can do that.
Yeah.
But the C, no.
No.
So, you can't say crap.
No, no.
Because that begins with
C. Don't be saying it. That nothing with nothing beginning with a C. But some other big so they might not be big names, but big appointments to the cabinet. So obviously at the moment, defence, massive.
Yes.
John Healy.
Isn't he the bloke that's never served in the forces?
Yeah, he's never had anything to do with the military.
Wow.
Apart from the only experience that he's got is he shadowed the brief for a period of time.
Oh, okay.
So he was shadow defence secretary. Yeah. So he got minor updates from the department. So questionable, especially in this time, you know, you'd normally appoint someone who's got some experience.
Yes.
And one thing that I would say is missing from the cabinet, veterans minister.
It's been axed.
Yeah, it certainly seems to have been. From my research, I haven't found anyone being appointed to that position.
Yeah.
Questionable as to why that's been done.
I don't. Has it been rolled into another department?
Well, so it was never a Secretary of State. It was Minister for Veterans. He attended cabinet.
Right.
He always reported into defence.
Mm-hmm.
But the Conservative Party introduced, when they were in government,
yes,
the Veterans Minister who sits in cabinet as well. But that's what's been axed. So questionable as to why that's been done, because a lot of the parties were saying that they were going to keep that, that
right.
They felt that that was a good step forward, even when the Conservative Party did it and brought a Veterans Minister in. They received a lot of praise for that.
I think it
because
was a good thing to do.
Everyone realises that we should, you know, our soldiers put their lives on the line for us, so we need to take care of them when they inevitably retire or leave the forces.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think it was a good idea to scrap it. I think if they were going to... I didn't see that pledge in the manifesto.
No, I certainly didn't see it mentioned anywhere. But again, on the contrary, I also didn't see it mentioned that they would keep it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know what they're going to do for veterans then. It was probably in the manifesto. I might have to go back and listen to our manifesto special on defence.
It was very vague. We've got to remember, so we covered a lot of the veteran stuff in defence. And it was quite vague. But then again, the Labour Party manifesto was vague on the assumption that there was no money, which they've come out and said there isn't. But
isn't
then...
this what the Conservatives said when they took over from Labour in 2008?
The Conservative government seemed to think there was money left over, or there was money available. So I don't... It's hard to tell.
So are they saying there's no money when there actually is?
Probably.
Just for a rainy day? I mean, I suppose...
Tax rises.
We do have a lot of...
debt.
Not debt, but we do have a lot of compensation payouts coming.
Yeah, in the billions.
In the billions for the blood scandal, the post office scandal.
And they because they've already been passed into law as well,
yeah.
So the government cannot get out of them, which is right. And the Labour Party agreed. Obviously, everyone voted unanimously in favour of the compensation
schemes.
Oh,
absolutely.
It probably wasn't unanimous. There was probably abstentions.
Anyone that's being whipped by the post office.
Yeah, anyone that's in the post office board.
Yeah.
talking about the cabinet, I want to talk about some big names that the Tories lost.
Yes, it's worth pointing out those brave soldiers in blue.
Yeah.
That got annihilated,
yeah,
and
so
lost their seats.
251 Conservative members of Parliament lost their seat.
Ouch. Rishi Sunak, by the way, apologising profusely, not only after the election, not only on the steps of Downing Street, not only when he was at the King's House, Buckingham Palace, that's it, it was in there somewhere. I just had to find it, the King's House, Buckingham Palace.
Everyone knows what I mean, it's fine.
And then he also said it in the Commons.
Yes, rightfully so. At the end of the day, it was a poor campaign on the Conservative part.
That's what happens when you leave D-Day early, I suppose.
I wouldn't say the campaign on Labour's part was overly fantastic.
It was a bit stale, wasn't it?
Going back
to... Do you know what they needed to do?
What?
Go to Thorpe Park.
Change.
Yeah, change. Chained. Wind.
Wind. Wind. Prisons.
Wind.
No, I would say the best campaign was the Lib Dems, in terms of
getting the message
engagement.
Out. Yeah.
But the problem is, it didn't turn into votes.
No. To you say that, but I think it did. Have they increased their vote share?
No. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's right. Okay. Questions. Let me put this an easier way, Sean. Is the 2019? Is the 2024 number larger or smaller than the 2019 number?
So in terms of seats,
yes,
they obviously gained.
Ding ding ding.
64 seats.
Ding ding ding.
In terms of vote share, they lost one.
What?
They lost 1% in terms of vote share.
Wow. That's crazy. Really?
Yeah.
They got less votes, but got more seats.
It's the same as the Labour Party. I was literally saying this. This is the problem with the first past the post.
Now, Sean.
Yeah.
I seem to remember a conversation that we had maybe 2 years ago when I said proportional representation would be a good idea. And you said, no.
Do you know what, though? If it was put to the ballot tomorrow, would I vote for... if the question was put to me tomorrow, would I vote for proportional representation? Do you know what my answer would be? No.
Why?
Because... I don't want to say.
You spent the last 28 minutes and 4 seconds complaining about it.
Because we've already had a referendum on it and the people said no.
Can we not have another referendum?
No, we've already said that about Brexit. We can't have a Brexit referendum. If we have a Brexit, if another referendum on the voting system, then we can have another Brexit referendum. Fuck it, let's go Indy ref, Wales ref. Why not? Wales independence.
Sean is going all out with his referendum.
Windle. Wales independence slogan.
Windle. Windy ref.
Well, you've got Indy ref for Scotland.
Windy.
You've got Indy ref for Scotland. You've got Windle for Wales, because I couldn't think of anything else.
No, it would be Windy ref.
Windy ref.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. You just, if you have another vote on proportional representation, you're just opening the floodgates.
For what?
Soon we'll just be lonely England.
Lonely England.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so bad.
Could you imagine Wales being an independent country though? I just don't feel that they
I don't
would
think
be
Wales
to...
have the economic capacity to
no.
do that. What... I think while the aspiration is there, and you gotta admit, Wales got some big cojones, huge pendulous balls for wanting independence.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen. You haven't got the money.
Yeah, I just don't feel that it would would work for them, to be honest.
So, and a few other things of note that have happened in Keir Starmer's first week. He's gone to NATO, the 75th anniversary of NATO.
Yes.
Joe Biden fell asleep.
He always falls asleep. When's he awake?
I don't even think he's awake.
Has he got Parkinson's now? Is that what I've read?
No. So,
I just don't know with this man.
No. So Keir Starmer met him today.
Poor bloke.
George Clooney has come out and said, "Well, I love Joe Biden, and he is my mate. Stop running for president."
Yeah.
Which is not what you need when you're meeting the new Prime Minister of the UK.
It's not what you need when you're running for president.
Yes. Anyway, moving on. So what, where was I? Shit. Biden, Parkinson's.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer was there. He met Biden and everything like that. His doctor, Biden's doctor, which is an unusual move, I must admit, for a doctor to be releasing details about their patient, but there you go.
Sure that's illegal, but okay.
America, laws are a little bit looser over there. He's basically come out and said, Biden's fine. He's no problem at all. He's A-OK, America. It's not a problem. Signed, Dr. A. Biden's doctor.
Wasn't it, I'm not treating him for Parkinson's?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, why? Why would you say that? Yes. Why would you just plainly say that?
He was tested for it as part of his physical and the other health medicals that have been spotted going into the White House and spotted on the signing in book are there to treat, and I quote, thousands of White House personnel deployed to service this great nation. That was the White House press secretary. Something French name. I forget her name. But she's very good as a press secretary. I'll give her that.
So, just going back to the American law point about medical record confidentiality.
Oh, okay. So, Sean's getting ready to fact check my ass. Here we go.
I have double checked this. And under the HIPAA laws...
Yes.
health information cannot be shared with anyone other than doctors for the purposes of treatment and care, to pay for medical services, so insurance companies, families, relatives, and next of kin during a life or death situation, and shared with other doctors and nurses. That's the only reason you can share medical information.
So can you share your own medical information?
You can. You can choose to share your, if you posted your own medical records online, that's fine.
Yeah, that's not legal.
You can't post someone else's. You can't come out.
I suppose if Biden said, yeah, okay, tell the people, then...
I'm assuming that the reason this doctor has come out is because Biden has, like, prompted him to.
Or told him to, as the president.
I'd kind of hope that it isn't just a random thing.
You'd like to think so.
Although I wouldn't put it past an American.
No, I think he's
getting a little bit desperate. No offence, guys, we do love you.
Yeah, I think Biden's getting a little bit desperate.
Biden is getting desperate.
But as the American leader looks very weak, our new leader looks actually quite strong while he's over there at NATO. Now, it's very unusual for a prime minister to be over there this early on in his premiership, like at a big world event like NATO Summit or something like that. It's quite unusual to be...
like day five.
Like day five. It's like, you know, could you imagine, like, starting a new job at Tesco as a cashier,
and then all of a sudden you're meeting the president of the American state, the Americans.
yeah, and then all of a sudden you're in a board meeting giving a presentation about quarterly fiscal results
to the chief executive.
Fuck.
Like what?
So yeah, you can imagine how Starmer's feeling. I imagine.
The thing is, though, he would have been preparing for this. I'm sure he will be ready. Mm. You'd like to hope so, and he's got all of these aides with him that will guide him through stuff.
Many aides.
Yeah,
many...
He's got someone watching the football game, passing him notes.
Yes, that is interesting. So while he's at the NATO meeting this evening, much like I'm watching, well, not watching, but keeping up to date with the football, Keir Starmer has got someone that is giving him notes and information on the England game during the NATO meeting.
Like, focus on the policy, mate. Record it on your Skybox in Downing Street.
It's a good job it's not Friday, isn't it?
I know, because he'd be clocked off already.
It's a good job the NATO summit's not being held on a Friday, isn't it? Because he'd be halfway through a speech. 6 o'clock, right, boys, I'm off.
I'm out.
Fantasy football time.
Oh, bless it. But in his defence, he did work past 6 o'clock, Friday just gone.
He did, yes. Appointing his... the under cabinet, I like to call
the
them.
The under cabinet.
Like, you know, the little
like
ministers.
Like Jeff Phillips, under secretary for the Home Office for violence against women and girls.
Yes, a role that she very rightly should be in.
Oh, 100%. She's spent her entire adult life.
If for some reason you do end up or happen to listen to this, you girl are an absolute hero.
We love you.
We love you. Keep being fucking awesome.
Yeah. Go Jess Phillips.
Go Jess Woo! Phillips. Because what she endured through the election campaign and won, by the way.
She did win. She kicked ass.
Is just a testament to what A, women have to go through, and B, what women can achieve.
Exactly.
So there
exactly.
you go.
She is a testament to us all.
Anything else to cover, Sean? I think we're close to wrapping things up, aren't we?
I think next week again is going to be quite a busy week, but I think we'll start to peter down a little bit.
I did have one more thing I wanted to quickly throw in.
Oh.
So. Obviously, the MPs took their seats yesterday for the first time in the Commons, didn't they?
Yes.
And, of course, the leaders of the parties stood up and had their say. So, yes. You know, Rishi was quite despondent, as you'd imagine.
Well, I felt that, you know, he was... The speech that he... I just want to make this point. He made the speech that he made yesterday was more humble. He sounded more honourable, more statesmanlike. He sounded more prime ministerial in that speech than in any of the speeches he gave as prime minister.
Yeah. Now, when Nigel Farage stood up, obviously he's the leader of Reform, so he got to have his say.
Woo!
He actually started off quite well.
I know, it was a nice start, wasn't it?
Until he welcomed the speaker in, and he said that, you know, the speakers have got their absolute trust. After the speaker was, of course, dragged to the chair in tradition.
Why not?
The speaker. Now, interestingly, one thing I did have on your sheet, by the way, it said that the speaker ran against a Green and two independent candidates.
Yep.
How? I thought the speaker ran
They obviously. So it's not law that he runs unopposed, but it's a
tradition.
It's a gentleman's agreement.
Okay.
In air quotes.
So there is none every chance that he could have lost his seat.
Potentially, but none of the major parties will ever run there against the Speaker. So the Speaker is MP for Chorley.
Yes.
So he will never, the big parties will never, but like Burko, he was Buckingham.
Speaking of Burko, so Nigel Farage gave his little speech and he welcomed the new Speaker, like I said. And then he called Burko at the end, the little man that used to
sit there before you.
And that, look, it's day one, Nige. Don't get me wrong. I kind of want to throw a milkshake out. I'm joking.
Don't get me wrong. Burko was
a hard speaker, and he was an ardent Remainer. He was.
And he was a bully. And like that, I feel that was proven in amongst the...
I think he was from a different generation, and I know that's an excuse people use a lot, but it's something that I've witnessed and lived through firsthand. I don't think he meant to be as hard and as bullyish as he was, but the house that he was trying to control at the time was rowdy.
Was
rowdy and full. It was fucking chaotic, for want of a better phrase.
It's like
he had to sort of be, you know, teacher voice. Do you know what I mean?
It's like being in a high school, putting all the kids in the sports hall and all of the teachers except one leaving.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
You ain't gonna control 650 kids on your own.
No, it's just not gonna happen.
How experienced you are.
And they might be 70-year-old men, but they're still bloody kids.
Exactly. Because they're men.
No, it's because they're just... I'm not going to say anything.
No.
I'm probably going to say
something.
There's a
rabbit hole. There's a rabbit hole.
Dug a hole very deep.
All right. Well, as always, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening in to... it's not manifest.
We've done manifestos.
Broken from all of the recording we've done, Sean.
The election is over.
The election is over. We've got a new government in, and he's...
A government of change.
A government of change.
A government of a country before party.
A country before party. Not party before country.
Not party Matthew before Penny country. Cook. Country before party.
Yeah.
A country of slogans.
No slogans.
No slogans. Sorry, I got that wrong. Although we want slogans.
If you've enjoyed our little podcast, you can catch us on Twitter or X or whatever Elon's calling it this week. At Quip and Sean. You can also email us, talkingpollocks@quipandsean.com. We'd love to hear your views. Nobody's actually emailed us yet, but somebody will, I'm sure. One of you will have a question at some point, I'm sure. And we probably won't have the answer to it, but we'll try our best, I promise, okay?
Google is our friend.
But don't you Google it, you email us and we'll do the Googling for you.
Yeah.
All right?
You don't need Google, don't worry.
We'll be back at the same time next week. Until then, we'll see you soon.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.